Hello and welcome to another edition of What Our Parents Said by the Woodsman. I am Jack Woods. With me as always is Landon Wood. And joining us today is a special little girl. Her name is Henny. She's sitting on my lap right now. She's the official lad's cat. And she is not happy to be in my lap, so I'm going to set her down.
The lad's fat frat cat.
Landon, tell me about your day today.
It's been all right. I accidentally slept for 12 hours through my 8 a.m. Actually, I didn't sleep through fire alarms. I just decided to turn them off and go back to sleep. So minus that, it's been a pretty productive day.
Yeah? Did you get a lot of schoolwork done?
I got as much as I needed to get done.
Yeah.
I got like a midterm done, so that was really nice. Kind of took it easy, prepared for the week. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a psychology exam done, which I feel like I nailed, and I got my script ready for my director's project and my film class tomorrow, so I am good for the night. I should probably get ahead on more work, but I don't know. I feel like after taking an exam today, I'm good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am.
Yeah. Well, Landon, we agreed that this podcast would be about brotherhood, and let me just say, I am tremendously excited about this because we have grown as brothers and as friends in the past, I would say, 6 weeks? Has it been 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's been 6 weeks. It's been seven since we've been on campus.
About 7 weeks, we've cultivated this relationship. We've put out some podcasts, and now we're tracking it. We're finally at what I consider to be the central point of our podcast, and that is brotherhood. So, Landon, why don't you tell me what brotherhood means to you?
Yeah, so something that my parents talked to me about was the different types of love. And there's conditional love, which some would argue isn't even love, and then there's unconditional love. And with family, you kind of start off with that, right? So you are born and raised, you live in the same household, you have to get along. So you either end up basically hating each other or developing this like mutual respect through seeing the worst and the best in the people around you. And like through family, they are your support system. They are the way that you get all of your needs. I mean, you have to bond with your family that way. And then outside of that, once you move outside of your family, once you move outside of your home, you move on, you start becoming an adult. It's been a really interesting process and a really enjoyable process to start developing those connections with other brothers.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, okay, I'm going to go through and find basically a living house with a set of ethical beliefs that just take it super hardcore and go to extremes with it. Yeah, but you find your place that you want to live with, the people that you want to develop relationships with and bond with and experience this college life with. And so with brotherhood, I think it is developing that unconditional love that, man, you really piss me off sometimes, but I'd always be there for you. That type of relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't grow up with brothers. I grew up with an older sister. And one thing I always wanted that I didn't even know I needed until I joined a fraternity, until really last weekend, was I really needed a brother. I really wanted somebody to kind of guide me through life and guide me through what I was going through and tell me a little bit about their experiences. But I always wanted an older brother, and what better place to do that than in a fraternity house? It's weird because I hadn't even planned to rush.
Yeah, me neither.
I just had planned to come here for 4 years and get my degree and then get out, but you know, DePaul advertised that it is what you make of it, and I have made a lot of great relationships and a lot of great brothers as a result of the school. So
I came to DePaul with the idea that I was anti-frat. It's like fraternities, they're institutions, and it's just a social group that you pay into, and it's not worth it, and it's all just about stupid institution stuff, like the 60s rebel child that just wants to just demolish everything. And now that I'm here and I really started to get to know people, it was kind of fate. Like, I had some people that I really hit it off with at the very beginning. Guy named Seth, he graduated last year. He was in my percussion ensemble, and he was just a super awesome guy. We both like loved nature. He was super supportive and always there, and he wasn't trying to rush me. Like, he was just being himself, and I was like, this guy's really cool. I want to learn from this guy. Like, he seems like he's made the best out of his 4 years. What did he get into? And it was just an interest through people. One of our friends who lived down the hall now, John Tebby, I knew him my junior year of high school, the summer before my junior year of high school, because he worked at my marching band.
Wow.
Yeah, his job was to teach low brass, and I was percussion, and I was like, wow, it's a really tall guy. He's respectable. Going to DePaul seems pretty cool. Who would have known that 3 years later, he would have been my brother?
Yeah. Tebby's best friend, Graham, was the first guy that brought me to the house. And everybody just says I am the reincarnation of Graham Votaw. So just very abrupt, abrasive, always telling jokes for some reason. I don't know. But no, Graham was the guy that attracted me to the house. I remember I came here for a newspaper end of the year, end of the semester party, and he said, you know, I'm not going to try and rush you here, but you were in my acting class, and I really believe that you match the vibe of this house, and I think that you would fit in really well here. And, you know, once we started the rush process and once we all got in the house, it was transformative with how I looked at the world, with how I viewed relationships. And really, I don't think that my college experience would have been as good as it is now had I not joined Delta Upsilon. So
I can full-heartedly agree.
Yeah, and because of DU, I was able to grow into a deeper friendship with Sam, who I knew a little bit before. And I briefly met you through a mutual friend of ours. And when we started the rush process, we were fit into the same group.
His last name, Wood and Woods.
Wood and Woods. And that was a sign to me. That was a sign that we were supposed to maybe be friends. If I saw you on campus and then I see you in the rush process, and maybe we were just supposed to do this thing together. So it's been interesting to say the least, but a lot of fun.
Something that I was expecting during Brotherhood that caught me off guard, I was expecting it to feel forced. I was expecting it to be very in your face, like you can clearly tell that people are trying to make like certain things happen, maybe build a friendship, build a brotherhood. And I thought it was going to feel very in my face and up front. And the complete opposite. It seems like one of the most passive and most natural things that's happened on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's teaching me what a relationship should be like, whether that's a relationship with like a future partner or with a best friend or with a peer that you're working with. You have to be genuine. And with genuine, you have to be natural. You have to naturally be yourself, and whatever comes of that is an emergent property, as I learned in some theory conflict resolution class. Anyways, it's interesting to look back and be like, wow, I found myself here from a natural process, and to be able to pinpoint it and be like, yeah, none of this was really planned. There were definitely forces behind the scenes.
Right.
Right now, you and I, well, last weekend.
We know, and we're going to stay quiet about that because, because we can't. Who are we kidding? Lori White's not listening to this. But.
Well, no, I mean, we can speak in generalities. There were, we interacted with other people at an undisclosed location, an undisclosed setting, undisclosed time, with freshmen, we first years, and it was simply just an experience to be like, oh, hey, it's nice to meet you. Let's hang out and get to know each other and simply host. Now, there are some behind the scenes motives.
Right. But
yeah,
the relationships are there, though. The genuine approach is still there.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't trying to rush people. We were just trying to get to know them. And I think that I met a couple of freshmen that I'm really, really excited about to start the rush process with. And, you know, the biggest example I can think of with Brotherhood that stands out to me was one of the first few nights here where we all sat in my room and shirtless, and we closed the door and we watched Team America for the first time. That was.
We were shirtless. I forgot about that. It's funny. Because it was so hot.
It was so hot. We had to take our shirts off if we were going to watch that movie. And then we just, it's like a full week of nothing but catching up through 5 months and Brotherhood stuff and We're playing volleyball. We're recording podcasts. We're eating lunch together. I mean, this is exactly what I wanted and needed that didn't know, but I didn't know I needed it. And what makes this especially awesome for me is we're not done. We still have 2 full years to do this together, and we still have a lot of memories to make and a lot of people to introduce. I personally can't wait to be the head honchos of the house so I can, you know, develop relationships the same way that the older guys develop relationships with me.
Yeah, there's a lot of passing of the torch.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time, whether it's spoken or unspoken, very upfront or very passive. And that's really interesting. Like, certain items will just be passed down, like, hey, this has history, this has tradition, and now you can keep it. Like, I have my family's poster in my room because I'm the only person in my family. There's like seven of us on that are still in DU that are active members, but I'm the only one on campus because of COVID. So I have all the memorabilia, I have all of the tradition holding items are in my room. This is my first year living in, which is a crazy experience. And I think that's another positive that I want to take away from COVID, is that we wouldn't have this close encounters. We wouldn't be this elbow to elbow if it wasn't for COVID.
No, if we didn't have that brotherhood stripped from us, we wouldn't have been able to appreciate it as much as we do now.
Yeah, we got like two extremes. We're like, okay, you're going to get cut short out of your just so everybody is on the same page. There's a seven week. Yeah, it was 8 or 7 week rush process is what it's called. So it's just like an introduction. You get formally introduced into the house, and then for that amount of time, you are basically on trial. Not on trial, but you're going through a kind of discovery period of, okay, I'm going to learn all of the information I need to learn. We have a binders. We're going to get to know the guys. We're going to get all the phone numbers. We're going to see what it's about. What are the families?
Mm-hmm.
All of that sort of thing. Bond with your other, pledge class. Yeah, pledge class. And it's an interesting experience, but ours got cut a week short because of COVID. So we were sent home during that crazy week of March. And that was the week we got sent home was supposed to be our
formal rush week.
Yeah. It was like where we have our ceremonies and things like that. And it was cut short. So we missed a lot of opportunities, missed a lot of traditional events. So it was kind of stripped away from us. And then we got sent straight home, 2 days after being active members.
Mm-hmm. And we had meetings over the summer. We had group DU pledge class meetings, and we had phone calls and we had text messages and the occasional how you doing, but other than that we didn't really have contact with each other at all.
And I want to bring something back to the very beginning. If we hadn't been in here, if we hadn't been in DU together, this podcast wouldn't be happening.
No, it would not.
We watched separately Midnight Gospel, shout out to that show, together. And we're like, wow, this is a podcast. This is fantastic. What else can you do with this media? And now we're here. Now we're doing our own thing, trying to represent our own story, simply because we found a friendship and a brotherhood through an organization.
Credit to you for setting up all of the ins and outs of the podcast, but I don't think I would have as nearly good of a college experience without the relationships I've developed and the brotherhood I've developed. My God, dude, we have been through a lot in 6 weeks. We have experienced quite a bit, even if we are going from room to room to room, and that's it. It's class, brotherhood, class, and then we'll go do our own thing for a little bit, but we usually reconvene in the evenings. If we don't reconvene, we reconvene the next morning. It really is like living in a fantasy hotel with my very best friends.
Yeah, COVID has created this exclusive intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to get close with your family. Like I was talking about earlier, COVID is one of the reasons why I think we're going to be so close, is because we've been exclusive in our social groups. Like, if you can only hang out with less than 10 people, which ended up being less than 5 people, that's a lot of quality time with a small group. I mean, we even have a nickname. We have the lads.
We are the lads.
We're missing Sam, which we've talked about a few times. But it's us three, and we have made such an impression and such a brotherhood that we have our own nickname that's going to last 3 years. I'm absolutely positive. I've even gotten the nickname Spidey.
Yes. Because you stuck on a wall, bud.
I stuck on a wall. I really wanted to get to that corner. Yeah, it's the safest place, I promise. But, yeah. Story for another time.
Story for another time. We'll do that on the... We'll talk about that senior year.
Oh, yeah. yeah, and it's a beautiful experience.
What do you think is the most noticeable aspect, noticeable quality about the brotherhood we've created? What do you think works really well for you, me, and Sam? Because what I believe the best thing that works is that we're all different people. We all have our different interests. We all have our different aspirations. And yet, we all still kind of have a similar sense of... Wow, she is just going at that cat toy, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Isn't this weird seeing her so active?
This is the most active I've ever seen her.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Just running around.
Maybe she just needs more free space.
Well, I'm not putting her in the hallway.
I mean, like, you should just move the chair out and, like, have this open area when you leave.
That's what I do. So what I do, I deconstruct the chairs, and I just push the table against my dresser, and she just has the floor.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, no, but going back to what I was saying, we're all different people. We all have different aspects, but we all have a same way of thinking. We all have that same sense of humor. We all have that same kind of play off of each other when we want to and have that genuine conversation when we need to. And it's weird because there hasn't been a moment where I've been tired of you. There hasn't been a moment where I've been tired of Sam. It's like we have a select amount of time that we spend together, and it's more than enough. And then we go our separate ways, and then we have our experiences, and we come back and we talk about them. And it's awesome.
I really thought I was going to get burnt out. Like, I was worried about, with this exclusiveness, that I was going to be like, okay, I'm tired of hanging out with the same people. This is ridiculous. I'm ready to be in a different social group. We've had moments like that. We've had breaking off points that we can kind of look back and reflect on. But I think the most genuine aspect and the thing that sticks out to the most to me is, I'm going to use an analogy, as I usually do. If you imagine that each of us are a Venn diagram, with like a certain ratio of colors.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say like mine's, I have a lot of green, good amount of brown.
You're a nature guy.
With some like, with some, a good amount of gray in there, right? with some black and white. And then, so you take each person's color palette and you imagine that's a circle. And then you imagine a Venn diagram.
Mm-hmm.
When our color palettes and our aspects that are all different and unique in our own ways and beautiful and unique, and you bring them together, the shared space that's in the center is, it's very comfortably uncomfortable.
Mm.
Where we know we're not the same. We know that we can find common grounds, but they're not always apparent. But we have the dedication to just keep on going. We are going to be close friends, and we're going to respect each other no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Even if things get difficult and choppy and we disagree on certain things, we have that common ground. We have that center area. And I think what, as a combination of us three, are the center of our Venn diagram is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very varied, but at the same time, we can always interrelate and interact, and there's always a string going through the conversation, per se.
There's a special dynamic between the three of us, and there's this faithful bond that I feel towards the two of you, and I don't ever anticipate that will ever go away. I have such a tremendous love and respect for what you're about and for what Sam's about, and I will do everything in my power to help you achieve what you want to achieve and help you get to the places that you want to go to. I don't feel resentment. I don't feel anger. I don't feel even mild jealousy towards you. I just feel like we're all at the same table and we're all trying to eat, and I want to help you get the food that you want and help Sam get the food that you want. I know that it's reciprocated, and that's a beautiful, beautiful and very rare and, like you said, unique thing to have in a group of people.
And I think the ability to overcome disagreements, right? Because if you try to imagine that there aren't going to be any disagreements, you're just going to be wrong. You're just going to be because nobody's perfect and nobody's the same as somebody else, so there's always going to be something that conflicts in some way.
Right.
And our ability to either make that funny, make that very expressive. Like yesterday, I definitely went off when I was like, okay, I'm done, Jack. Jack, I'm done. And you're just like, dude, are you serious? Like, you're actually done. I'm like, yeah, don't you get it? I'm done, man. And you're like, oh, okay, my bad, my bad.
Okay, just, all right. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah. All right, man, chill out. And I was like, yeah, my bad. But I think it's that ability to just work through it. Mm-hmm. Just work through it. And I think something that's beautiful from my side is that in my relationships, I have always kind of struggled with finding myself in a relationship. So I've always found myself just changing to fit inside of what I thought I needed to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
In retrospect, it never was what I needed to. Me trying to change myself never made me who I needed to be, right? Because I'm already who I'm going to be, and I should just stick with that. And I've learned over the past few weeks of I'm starting to learn how to do that. I'm starting to learn to just be like, yay, like, this is me. This is me, and this is how I'm going to be. I have these boundaries, and I'm going to stick by them. And it's nice to have you guys respect that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to get confidence of, hey, you are you. You're accepted. And yeah, you may be a little eccentric at times, and there's going to be ups and downs, but just working through that, it's a fantastic social lesson to learn, and I'm so thankful that you and Sam have helped me learn that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. And what you've taught me is you have to be 100% wholesome and genuine all the time. You have to be. You have to be. There's no other way to be than genuine. And I believe that I am genuinely funny, and that's why I try to crack jokes all the time. And I believe that I'm genuinely a nice person given the way that you all react to what I say. And I think that what you guys have taught me about myself goes beyond this fraternity, and I'm able to use the things that you guys teach me about myself and other relationships, and I'm able to draw hard lines with people when I need to. And I also learn, hey, not everything is as serious as it needs to be. Not everything is as high intensity as you think it needs to be. Sometimes you just need to relax. Sometimes you just need to chill out. Sometimes you need to prioritize yourself and prioritize your friendships more than holy big bang. And you need to prioritize everything that's important to you, and not schoolwork, and not just work, and not just grinding everything out, you know? And I also think that DePaul's workload has beaten me down over the past couple of weeks, but that's, you know, that's just kind of being expected.
Hashtag me too. yeah, so, and I think on that note, it's when you have unconditional love, that is the place where you can see your faults the best and the clearest and really find ways to work through them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to have this brotherhood, this fraternity as a platform for us to better ourselves. I mean, DU's, Delta Upsilon's, one of our phrases is building better men, because we really are about that. We really are about, hey, I don't care what you're into, what you want to go through, you need to be a good person. And that's the common ground we have, and you can work everything else around that.
I would add on to that and say I am friends with people that I never thought I would be. I am friends with a different groups of people because of the things that I learned here. My relationships have grown exponentially as a result of the life lessons that I've learned here, and as a result of, you know, as a result of just fucking around at the house and doing stupid shit as brothers, playing volleyball, recording podcasts. Like, the most fun that I've ever had in my life is here. And I know that I'm living my glory days every single day that I'm here. I know that I'm in the glory days right now. I know that I'm not done. I know I haven't peaked. I know that I still have a long way to go. I know that, you know, life is going to throw me different things. But as of right now, I'm so appreciative of everybody around me. I'm so appreciative of everything that's going on in my life. And I think that it starts with the people I surround myself with. If I hadn't surrounded myself with brothers and people that care about me and care about what I want to do and want to help me get there, I dare say I'd be in a very different mental state.
This is a fantastic support system.
Oh, without a doubt. And it feeds itself. It feeds itself. We share our resources. I mean, obviously we don't, you know, share bodily fluids, but I mean,
yeah, like something that we always do. It still catches me off guard sometimes when I'm just sitting in your room and you're like, hey, do you want something to drink? I'm like, sure. And you're like, what do you want? And I'm like, well, can I have this? And you're like, absolutely. And I'm like, really? And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, whoa, okay. I guess that works. Do I have to like give you back anything? You're like,
no.
No. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You're eating food, man. Why would I?
Yeah.
You don't owe me anything for eating.
Yeah. And it just, what comes around goes around. It's very community based, and it's fantastic to have that community. It's nice to be able to have your own individual, like,
space,
have your own individual area, have your own individual resources, but it's even better just to share those. Like, hey, here's some popcorn, or I don't know, like, we always share, like, okay, we are recording this right now on one of the coffee tables that I got in Jack's room, and I swear that I have at least three coffee tables that I got from Seth, as I mentioned earlier, that are just spread around the house. Just guys are just using it, because I don't need four coffee tables in one room.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, those sort of things. It's an amazing, just to walk across the hall and be like, yo.
Yeah, and didn't you have a story you wanted to tell on this podcast specifically?
Yeah, so back in like high school, middle school, I had a friend group. I always was jumping around in friend groups, right? So I kind of described myself as the nomad Indian of high school. And so I went from like tribe to tribe. I went from lunch table to lunch table. And I always kind of fit in, but I never felt like I fully fit in.
Yeah.
And so like, man, I could go and talk to the jocks. Like, I sat at the jock table for a while, and I sat at the drama table for a while, and the band kid table, and like the girl drama choir table. And I was always hopping around, and I could always fit in somehow, but not completely, it felt like.
Right.
And it's, I finally have gotten, like, I finally itched that one spot that's always needed to be itched by being in this brotherhood. I always feel like I am accepted for who I am, and I finally accepted myself for who I am in this brotherhood.
Yeah, I would agree. I had a similar experience in high school as well. I found myself calling my friends brothers, and I didn't know that that was a subtle sign that maybe I was looking for something that they couldn't provide. Mm-hmm. And then I got here, and I surround myself with different people from different countries, for Christ's sake. Like, one of my best friends is from Montenegro, and then I have another friend from Ohio, and it's like, it's such a varied friend group, and it's such a varied brotherhood, but it works for some reason. It all goes together. It's very somehow, conglomerative. Some way. Conglomerative. It's very...
I don't know how we work sometimes.
I really don't, because we're all very different people, and yet we have similar interests and similar different... And we mentioned Tebby a little bit earlier in this podcast, but because I got a cat for my room, Tebby gets a little mini baby kitten for his room. So
it did kind of seem like he was trying to one-up you a little bit.
No, I don't think he was trying to one-up me. I think he was just trying to have a cat in his room because, you know, what a great idea to have a cat in a fraternity house.
Frat cats are the move.
Frat cats are the move, and I also love that we both named our cats after alcohol.
Like, that's pretty funny. Yeah.
Like, Tevi's cat is Captain Morgan, and my cat is Henny, short for Hennessy.
Like, a female cat.
Oh boy. I should not have named her Henny because she doesn't like that name at all. And then again, Henny doesn't really like anything.
True.
Yeah.
I think I'm also the oldest of eight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I live with two. I live with two brothers. But it's weird being the oldest. And something that's also been really nice as a brotherhood is to finally have people around the same age that I can look up to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to be the only responsible sibling, right? Mm-hmm. So I can be like, yo, when I do something dumb, people can look at me and be like, hey, that was dumb, kid. Figure it out. Come on, Spidey. Like,
you sound like Eddie.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And I know in like two, three years, we're going to be looking down at people and be like, hey, we messed up like that. You messed up like that. Fix yourself.
Come on, sister.
Exactly.
So
the ability to have role models and have people to learn from is amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to mention Graham again. He really was the older brother that I needed, that I looked up to, that I needed. I got very, very attached to him early on because he just provided everything that I needed and was looking for. And he's not in the house this semester, and I'm upset about that. But Graham was such a huge influencer for me to come to this house, and he really is the guy that I don't want to emulate per se, but he is a guy that I look up to. He is a guy that I want to spend time with. He is a guy that, like you said, he's my age and I can look up to him, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
To that extent, archetypes kind of get repeated in the house in like different formats and different ways. So Seth Bronner, I look very, very similar to Seth.
You do.
But with, like, and we can say that to almost anybody, where you find the replica almost.
Yeah.
Right? So you kind of find the traditions you pass on because you find that connection with other people. And to be able to connect with somebody somehow in your brotherhood, you can always find parts of yourself to connect with everybody else.
My freshman year of high school, I went to the first fall break baseball practice, and this kid named Christian Blackwell comes up to me and he asks, hey Woods, you get pussy?
Oh my God.
And that was my first interaction with my freshman baseball team. And he was a senior, and from then on out, everybody called me Mini Blackwell.
Wow.
I have no idea as to why. And the reason I bring that up is because I didn't feel a genuine connection, like a genuine brotherhood connection with him. I saw him as a teammate. I saw him as a guy that we're here for the same reasons, but we're not, you know, we're not similar. I respect Christian. I look up to Christian, but he's not my brother. There are a couple other guys that I routinely hang out with when I come home. They're my friends from back home, but they're not my brothers. They are friends. They are my best friends. They're not brothers. And that's how I look at most everybody in this house. I say most everybody because some people are reclusive and some people are the president and they're trying to run this shit show, and it's proving very difficult as of right now. We are animals. We are absolute animals. Every single night something's going on.
When I was younger, the beginning of high school, I had my first impression of my high school drum line was I walked through and apparently the teacher had mentioned my name or something to those lines, Geisler, band director Geisler. And he had like talked about me some way, some form, and some guy looks at me and goes, hey, are you Landon? Who are you? And he's like, okay, come on over here. You're going to show me your skills, bud. Like, show off. I didn't show off too well, and it was kind of like my first impression of having to try to impress somebody else.
Yeah, no, I hear you. My apologies, folks. We are dealing with a very angry cat right now. Captain Morgan, Tebby's cat, is officially in the room, and to say that Henny is not enjoying his presence would be a very, very dangerously vast understatement because she is hissing and really upset, but she'll get over it. You were saying, drumline.
Yeah, it was just Interesting. Oh, another, I really like to wear beanies. It is a pretty characteristic.
It's like 100 degrees and you're wearing a beanie.
I really, really enjoy wearing a beanie. I don't know why.
You've got such beautiful hair.
It's, okay, sometimes beautiful hair does not work with you.
And that's a genuine compliment. That's not being,
I got you. Yes,
we have to be, I feel like I have to preface every single thing I say with now, like, hey, this is me being genuine. This is me not telling a joke. You have awesome hair. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, but sometimes that hair just doesn't work, right? Like, it just, you have to wear a beanie. You have to have some sort of stylistic cap. But another reason, another reason why I wear beanies all the time is because of some guy that I met my freshman year of drumline. Mm. He was like the senior. He was driving me to and from school, and his fiance at the time, wife now, knitted me my very first beanie.
That is so sweet.
Isn't it? And it's the brown one that I wear all the time. I love that beanie. But so that, and then combined with the hippie reggae influence from my father, that's why I wear beanies now. Kind of show off the Rastafarian vibes without being, you know, black or Rastafarian or having dreads.
Oh,
so it's just hippies.
Kill it. Kill it. Next point. No. Now, let me ask you, did you have anybody that you really looked up to in high school that you look up to the same way here? Because I can tell you that I really didn't have anybody. I just kind of had people I associated with due to common interests. I didn't have that strong brotherhood because most of my friends back home already had brothers. So they were just looking for friends. I was looking for brotherhood. Did you have anybody like that?
I wanted brotherhood as well. I wanted an older brotherhood somebody to look up to. In my way, it was very much forced.
Yeah, right. So, a lot of it was.
Like there was a guy named Zarek who was a really, really good percussionist, but he was a huge douchebag. Like he just walked all over me. It was trying to make me always feel like I'd never be as good as him. No matter like even next in 2 years when I was his grade, I'd never be as good as him. And which was really funny. By the time that he was graduating, I was like competing for him as section leader. I was a sophomore and he was a senior, and I was like way up there messing with him, which was awesome. But in that sense, he would always like step on me, and I'd always have to invite myself to social situations and things like that. And it was a forced brother. I'm like, man, mom, look, all these ways that I'm so much more similar to him, and like I'm gonna be awesome too, right? And she would kind of look at me and like, dude, you're not that similar to him. Like, you're honestly just making a big deal out of it because you want to feel special. I was like, wow, mom. Oh. She was like, yeah, no. She didn't say it that bluntly.
Coming in strong, mom. That's
definitely what I was doing. God damn it, mom. But it was true. I mean, I looked at other people around me the same way. Like, hey, like, I'm good like them, right? And I was always searching for this kind of approval in brotherhood. And now I realize that you don't really need that. You just want to be able to connect with people, be genuine, and have fun with the boys around you, and be yourself.
Yeah, and let me just say, as we wrap this episode up, I would like to say to you that, God damn, man, I really love you. I really love you like a brother, and I'm really glad that on Midnight we cut our palms open and became blood brothers. That was super cool. I'm glad that we did that. I'm really glad that we did that. I would also, yeah, no, that was great. And
100% a joke, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. It was a joke. I really love you. I really appreciate you as a person. More than anything. And we kind of got interrupted in the middle of this podcast because we had all had plans to hang out together tonight anyways. So to Tebby, Sam, and Demir, who are all in this room right now, let me just say you guys mean the absolute fucking world to me. My life would be so tremendously different and so very dull without you guys in my life. And I can honestly say I don't know where I would be without you. And You know, 40 years from now, when you need my shovel to bury a body, please call me.
It'll probably be yours.
It'll probably be my body. It'll probably be the body that I need buried. So, actually, in 40 years, pick up the damn phone, okay? That's what I'm going to tell you guys.
Yeah, much appreciated. Hey, do you guys want to say hi?
Yes! Finally! Oh, hi! It's the boys. I've been waiting for you to invite me to be on this for, like, however long you've been doing it, and it's finally my time! You could have just walked in like... Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I'd like to say hi to my grandparents. Thank the Academy. Oh, my goodness.
We'll cut this out later.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but, yeah, they just kind of barged in about 15 minutes ago. Very welcome surprise. They're like, can we come in?
At least we didn't pop in like Collingwood and just be like, yeah, we'll be in here for the next like
30 minutes. Yeah. Well, that was Tebby. The last one was Sam. And then there's Tamir.
That's me.
And that's Brotherhood, everybody.
That's Brotherhood. Join us next week. We'll talk about something. My brain's fried, so, and we might bring on Tebby or Sam or Demir. We'll keep them in the loop.
Yes!
Thank you for tuning in, folks, and we will be back next week.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Bye.